Welcome to the Pro Photographer Interview Series, episode number 27. This is Shamira Young with you from Zenjoyable.com.
It's a process, isn't it? Little did I know that I'd be killing it. I don't want to write these songs for you. I don't want to write these wrongs, it's true. Sick to my stomach, the picture's clear, lick and chug.
Hey everybody, what up? Today we chat with Wes Eisenhower. He's a photographer, musician, and artist residing in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Wes has spent the last decade touring in his band, which ultimately led him to pick up a camera in 2012 and pursue photography full time. Now, you'll probably notice the intro was a little bit different today. I couldn't help myself. That's actually one of the songs from his band, Soul Crate. They got mad talent. It's like indie rap, and it's awesome. So check them out on iTunes. I'm going to have a link to their band in the show notes. Now, before we get started, I want to encourage you to head over to Zenjoyable.com and sign up for our free photography business essential bundle. That's 4 weeks of freebies delivered to you every 7 days. You'll get a PDF e-guide right away that covers the 12 common business mistakes and tips that photographers make. And also you'll get other good stuff over the following month, some high resolution textures to enhance your photos, some Photoshop template cards, etc. You can check all of it out at Zenjoyable.com. All right, without further ado, let's get to the good stuff. Hi, everybody. I'm hanging with Wes Eisenhower, photographer and musician. Wes, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Absolutely happy to be here with you.
And I know it's like 8:30 where you are right now in the morning, so kudos to you.
Yeah, I've been up for a while. I just dropped my daughter off at daycare, so I'm ready to roll.
Awesome. Well, first, you know, I really want our listeners to learn about you. And for the benefit of our listeners, I just want to mention that I first heard about Wes through Entrepreneur on Fire. That's another podcast by John Lee Dumas. And when I heard Wes's story, I was like, oh, it would be awesome to chat with him to get him on our show. So I'm super, super excited. So yeah, first, just give us an overview of yourself and your background, education, schooling, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I was born on the East Coast. So I was born in Boston. My whole family's from Massachusetts. And when I was about 13 years old, we all relocated to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So quite the change in landscape. And I've been through that move and through, finding my friends here, I was really immersed in music and skateboarding and in art and that culture. So for about the last 13 years, I've played music in a band, a touring band. We've traveled the country making, independent hip hop music, me and my brother and another guy. And we're still fairly active with that, a band called Soul Crate Music. And through music and through just traveling and being a fan of, that kind of alternative culture, I ended up picking up a camera not too long ago. About 2 years ago, I got my first camera kind of out of necessity. Soul Crate, we needed video work. We needed some press photo stuff. So as a group, we bought a Canon 5D just to mess around with and to have. And when we got this camera, something changed in me pretty heavy. I felt like I was holding a really powerful piece of equipment, a really powerful tool. And I had always dabbled in photography. My mom's a photographer. All my siblings take pictures. And, I had dabbled with little film cameras here and there and, taking pictures with my cell phone and all that kind of stuff. But when we bought that 5D, that's when it really changed for me and something clicked, no pun intended, I guess. But I kind of dove in. We got this camera and, my intent was to get some video work done. And I started working on some video stuff. And then I kind of, for me, I said to myself, if I want to learn how to, compose a video, I should probably know some basic photography stuff and how to compose a photograph. So I just dove in and started using my camera constantly and mostly on my daughter and taking pictures of her. I have a 2-year-old daughter. And yeah, it's kind of just snowballed from there. And in the last 2 years from picking up the camera to now, I'm actually, full-time photographer, mainly wedding stuff at this point, but a lot of event coverage and a little bit of commercial work and stuff like that. that. So it's been an interesting journey. If you would have asked me, you had told me 2 years ago that this is where I would be now, I would have not believed you. But it's been a great trip so far.
That is awesome. And, you know, it's interesting because I've heard other photographers mention that sometimes their father or their mother or someone in their family is a photographer. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of have that natural interest in it themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So you do mostly weddings. That's an event. So like the high pressure stuff.
Yeah, I guess. you know, the funny thing about it is so I've spent, 10 years on stage in front of people touring, and that feels very high pressure to me. So mm-hmm. when I have, a wedding on a weekend instead of a show, I feel much less anxiety and much more excitement. And maybe I'm still kind of in the honeymoon stage of this whole photography career, because I am still pretty, new to the trade, but it feels like a lot less pressure than getting on stage and trying to entertain people. Because I think when you're a photographer at a wedding, yeah, there's a lot of stuff you definitely can't miss, but I kind of feel like people just assume you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and it's your and you get to go home and take that work and then present it to them when you're ready, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So for me, it's almost kind of calming. I like it, and I guess maybe being a musician has built up my tolerance for some high pressure situations. But I enjoy. I never thought I would be a wedding photographer, but I really do enjoy hanging out with people and trying to, tell their story of the day through photos. So it's cool.
So I'm super curious, what got you into wedding photography in particular?
I guess when I picked up the camera and I really just started putting my work out there, out there being, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, mm-hmm. a friend, an acquaintance more or less approached me, a guy named Walter and his wife named Holly, Walter and Holly Ports. They own a studio in Sioux Falls, South Dakota called Studio Blue Photography, really cool kind of hip studio doing mostly wedding photography, but they were, looking to grow, and they approached me and said, hey, would you ever be interested in, just assisting shooting some weddings? So for a year in 2013, I just assisted them as a third shooter, if you will, for 12 weddings in the summer. Mm. And just kind of they just showed me the ropes. And so by 2014, this is the first year I've been kind of off on my own with another guy, kind of partnered up. And we've shot 15 this summer. And so, yeah, it just kind of, they said, hey, would you ever have interest in this? And I said, yeah, I'd give it a try. And I ended up really enjoying the work. And it just kind of happened, I guess.
Wow, that is awesome. And super practical as well, as far as working with them, being the third shooter for a whole year. Talk about hands-on experience.
It was great. Yeah. And they really kind of just threw me right into it. And I think, that's the best way to learn.
Oh, definitely. I went to art school and it was awesome. And, they taught us a bunch of different things, including some digital photography. Yeah. And I wouldn't change my degree, my experience. I would never, ever change it. But a large part of probably a majority of the practical knowledge came after I graduated.
Sure.
And you get out in the real world and you're dealing with people and you're talking to clients and talking money.
Right.
You have to learn very quickly.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned you do a bit of commercial work as well.
Yeah, it's just kind of, the inbox has kind of just taken that turn. Again, I think it just goes back to putting my work out there and just making sure I'm consistent with presenting my stuff online. And yeah, I've been getting a lot of calls just for just some just random stuff. And it's cool, and at this point, I've been really careful to turn things down that I don't think that I'm a fit for, which is, I think, is a little bit of growth that's happened within me in the last year or two. But yeah, nothing too heavy on the commercial side. I primarily, work with natural light, and I'm not in a studio or anything like that too often. But so yeah, mostly wedding stuff, mm-hmm. a lot of event coverage, and then some little commercial stuff dabbled in there, but who knows where it will go, I guess.
Awesome. So next, tell us, how do you get yourself inspired for a shoot, be it wedding, be it an event shoot?
I guess if I'm feeling uninspired, I like to go through my own stuff and look at the stuff, my favorite work of my own, that and try to identify what it is I like about the photos that are you know, up on my site. And I also, like anybody, I think I just look around online occasionally and, you know, try to find stuff that's interesting, and even stuff that I want to copy, you know. I found a lot of photos and stuff that it's like, okay, I'm gonna give a shot at mimicking this stuff. And what I've found is generally when you go in trying to mimic a look or an idea, it ends up being quite different anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think there's no shame in, you know, taking inspiration from other people's work and then trying to try to see what you can accomplish with that idea or with that concept. Because again, I think things end up coming out a lot different than you intended anyway. So I just kind of, I try to keep it fresh and look around and be aware of what other people are doing and what other people aren't doing, I guess. And mainly just try to reflect on people's personalities and just, you know, let the moments happen, I guess.
Definitely. And, you know, I think as photographers, we really have to be able to articulate that gut feeling that we get about a photo. I know back before I started, before I had a camera in my hands, I'd look at a photo and go, oh, I really like it. Or I'll see something online or in a magazine. And, you know, everyone can look at a photo and go, oh, this is great. But not everyone can break it down and articulate why.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah. And you looking at your work and really asking yourself why you like it, or looking at other work and breaking that down, be it the composition or the lighting or unique spin on it, you know, that definitely helps our craft.
Absolutely. And I think going into things with an idea, a lot of my favorite work of my own, you go into it with an idea and it ends up, you know, accidents happen, happy accidents happen, you know, and those are the best moments. So you can go in with a plan, and most of the time, in my experience, that plan goes out the window pretty quickly. But things arise and you have to be able to, you know, jump at opportunities and seize the moments and take a lot of pictures if you're shooting digital, and just, you know, sometimes you get lucky and sometimes cool things just happen, or you know, a moment will just happen. So you just got to be ready, and you got to have your finger on the shutter and be ready to do some work. But yeah, a lot of the time I think things just unfold, and if you just are there and present in the moment, a lot of cool things happen.
You know, I was shooting a wedding probably 3 weeks ago, and I had the whole day planned out. You know, I had my checklist, all the shots that I needed. Mm-hmm. And of course, with any wedding, things don't always go according to plan. But when you were saying cool things happen and be ready to get to the shot, of all the shots I took that day, there was one in particular of the bride. And it was actually before the ceremony. And it was one of those in-between off moments where she kind of had a laughing fit. And, and she was next to the window, and it was beautiful natural light. And that was her favorite photo. That was my favorite photo of the entire day. And it was just one of those brief, it was like a 2 second moment where you just had to be ready to catch it.
Absolutely. And that's where the magic happens, I think.
Definitely. Awesome. Well, speaking of magic happening in photos, in your opinion, what makes a good photo stand out from just an average photo?
You know, I would say, just emotion. I think obviously that's the root of why people resonate with photography or a certain photo. You know, it can be beautifully composed. You got to have those technical elements, the compositions, you know, nice light, but it also has to capture some form of emotion, I think, at its root. So just trying to, I think my job as a photographer is, one, to know how to use my equipment and to technically know how to use my camera. And I think that's something that anybody can learn relatively quickly. The other probably bigger part of it is just getting people to be comfortable around you and to be themselves and to feel like they can show those natural moments and emotions and let those moments happen. So I think that's what makes a good photograph is just letting the events unfold naturally and letting the emotion come through the photo is really what's going to resonate with me and whoever's looking at the photographs, I think.
Awesome. I'm sitting here like scribbling down notes. I've got like half a page already. Yeah. Awesome. When you mentioned letting your client be themselves, you know,
absolutely.
And that was something that I think, I'm not sure if everyone catches on right away. I know it took me a while. And I'm a natural introvert as well. And so, you know, it took me a few months to really realize that when I'm comfortable, I can put the client at ease. And that totally affects how they act in front of the camera.
Absolutely. And I say this to a lot of people that I work with, especially people that I'm shooting for the first time, you know, it's not an easy thing to just dive in and get your photo taken, you know, especially by a couple photographers over your wedding. You know what I mean? If you're not used to being in front of the camera, it can be an intimidating and a daunting thing. So if you can make people feel at ease, that's a huge, huge part of being a photographer. And I think for me, it goes back again to being a musician and being on stage and showing people that, hey, I'm comfortable being up here. I want you to feel comfortable. And that way we can all just let our guard down and enjoy ourselves and open ourselves up to the moment. So for me, I've really tried to hone in on that skill of just being comfortable myself and trying to make people feel at ease. And I think that's when those great moments happen.
Absolutely. There was about a month ago, I was shooting a couple. They'd been married, I think, 60 years. They were 90, I think 94, maybe 92 and 94 in their 90s. And they were so nervous. And it turns out, you know, this is something I'd never thought of, but the wife in particular, she was really self-conscious of herself. And I mean, she was beautiful, beautiful, right. You know, but it was especially the first part of the shoot, it was chatting about, you know, them, getting to know them, how long they've been married, tell the story of how they first met.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, you know, or actually it was more of a gradual thing where they're just more relaxed and then they're holding hands and then, right. You know, it's just like we're all hanging out. So.
Absolutely. And I see that a lot, you know, when I start a wedding and you get there in the morning and, you know, you're with people when they're getting ready and it's a little awkward at first and it's a little tense. And usually I say, you know, we're going to get into a rhythm together. We're going to get comfortable with each other. And yeah, so by the end of the day, usually people are pretty comfortable and relaxed and we're joking around and that's, you know, that's just the arc of the day and getting people to relax is the biggest part, I think.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Awesome. Well, next, let's talk about the tools of the trade, about what you like to use. What's your typical go-to gear?
Like what I shoot with is a Canon 5D Mark II. And I guess, you know, I have a bag of lenses. I try to buy the best gear, but, you know, sometimes that can't be, you know, you can't have everything. It's an expensive, expensive trade and hobby I've learned in the past couple of years. But my go-to gear, you know, if I had to pick one lens and one camera to go out for the day, I would probably put on the Canon 24-70, in a 5D. And that's mostly what I shoot with. You know, I try to cover all the focal lengths. I just recently got the 16 to 35 millimeter Canon lens, which is really cool for some really wide angle stuff that I've been utilizing in my wedding stuff. But yeah, the 5D Mark II is my first camera, you know, my first real professional camera. So that's really all I know. But I just bought a Fuji X100. Which is really kind of cool too. I got sick of lugging my 5D around when I just wanted to like capture, you know, stuff with my daughter and my wife. So I bought that and I've been having a lot of fun with that camera too. It's like just a point and shoot option. So that's been cool too.
Very cool. And what's your favorite photography accessory other than your camera and why?
I've actually been playing around with doing like some time-lapse stuff. So I recently bought an intervalometer. It's a Velo, I believe, the wireless shutter boss. So it's really cool to plug that in and, you know, you can program it to, you know, click however often you want at whatever interval and whatever shutter speed you want. So I've been playing around with time-lapse stuff lately and I've really been enjoying that. I'd like to do a lot more stuff. So that was an accessory that I bought recently that I've been playing with and enjoying for sure.
Do you have any of that up on your blog yet?
You know, I don't have anything up on my site that is time-lapse stuff, but I think there's a few things like on my Instagram account. And again, I'm pretty new to it, but like I recently took a trip to Nicaragua and the Milky Way was insane out there. I was on the beach. So I did like a time lapse of the Milky Way that ended up kind of coming out pretty cool, I think, for my first attempt. But that's something I definitely like to do more of. And I'll probably play around more in the future for sure.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's fun.
Cool. Well, next, let's talk about your post-production workflow, because I think that can be as important as the actual photo shoot itself, as far as, you know, what you do with those photos afterwards, how you process them. So Can you describe to us what your post-process workflow was like as far as the software that you use, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I do most of my editing at home. I just have a Mac Mini in a Apple monitor, big monitor in my office. And I do, 95% of my stuff in Lightroom 4.
Nice.
Yeah, and I've found that to be really, really kind of easy and intuitive. And I do a little bit of, I throw stuff through Photoshop just to check it out, mess with levels here and there. But yeah, my workflow is mostly in Lightroom. And every day I learn a new little, a little something about it. There's a lot to learn. But I think just going in and playing is the best way to learn things. But and I found that to be the most daunting of all the things, when it comes to shooting weddings in particular, coming home and sorting through thousands of images and trying to narrow them down. And that's really been the challenge, I think, for me, because it's, you can easily, for me, I especially early on, been like, wow, I've spent 40 hours editing this wedding, and there's got to be a better way. And I slowly, especially this year with, being out on my own and having a lot more to do, I've figured out a better way to just kind of get through it and do a good job and cull the images down and have a consistent look. And I think for me too, a big part of it is just getting things right in camera as much as possible, mm-hmm. as far as, exposure and, focus. So that's a big thing I've been really trying to do, is making sure that in my camera, things are looking pretty good to begin with. That way the post-production doesn't have to be anything too crazy. So,
right. And, I'll definitely co-sign on editing weddings being a beast. I hear that is a common pain among wedding photographers as far as going through all those photos afterwards.
Sure.
And, it's like eventually at some point the pain of having an inefficient workflow becomes enough to kind of give you a kick in the butt to get into Lightroom. That's how it was for me anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, especially too, I've been a shoot with another guy, so having two photographers, you're doubling your images, and that's the beauty of 2014 too, right? We can blast away and take as many photos as we want. And I think that's, for me, that's the key to getting, great images, is you got to take a lot of pictures and take more bad ones than good ones. So, but you also got to weed through them. So, it's a challenge, and it's a balance to try to sort through them and deliver, a good amount of really high quality photos to the client. It could suck your life away if you don't figure out how to get through them and do a good job and do it in a timely manner. So I think that's something I'm getting better at every day.
Hopefully. Oh my goodness. Definitely. Definitely. Suck your life away. Oh yes. Yes. Cool. Well, next let's talk about running your photography business. I think it's huge. The business part of being in photography, and you're with your background, it's so interesting because you have a background in music and being in front of people and even having your hand in the music business. And so I'm super curious, what's the most challenging aspect of being in the photography business for you?
I guess it would be just keeping everything organized and juggling a million things at once. It's been similar to me, with the music thing. I was very hands-on and doing a lot of like management stuff behind the scenes, so it all kind of translates and carries over in a way. But just keeping everything straight and making sure you're not missing appointments and meetings and showing up. And that's been the biggest thing for me, I guess, is just keeping everything organized and making sure I'm keeping everybody happy that's working with me. Yeah. So I found that in my city anyway, I live in a city of 200,000 people. It's not a huge town, but it's a good size, biggest city in South Dakota. So for me, the business, I had people right away kind of, wanting to hire me. I hope because my stuff was good, but also because they knew about me from the music side of things. So I've really kind of tried to carry over that music following to my photography stuff. And I did watch a lot of people kind of come over from, hey, we know you from your music, and then suddenly they're wanting to hire me for my photography. So that's kind of cool. And yeah, but I think just the biggest challenge for me is staying organized.
Definitely. And you know, you it's interesting you mentioned when you crossed over to photography, people kind of followed you and wanted to hire you. Has that been the most effective technique as far as getting new projects, or are there other factors as well?
In my opinion, and what's worked best for me is just being out there in making sure, saying hello to people and going having coffee. Like, I try to, you know, support other people as much as I can in their artistic endeavors and in whatever they're doing. And just kind of, I hate the word, you know, I hate the whole networking thing, but you know, I try to go have coffee with people and support other people and generally just be out there and showing your face. It is really effective for me anyway. And then that coupled with just being consistent with my presentation kind of through social media, I've definitely utilized Facebook, Twitter, Instagram pretty heavily in my work. So I think that has been a really effective way to get new work, is just putting your stuff out there for no other reason than it makes you happy and you're passionate about it. And I think people see that if you're consistently putting your work out there and it's good and you have some quality to it, people will be like, oh, I see that Wes is pretty serious about this photography thing. And so that, I think, has been another thing that's led to a lot of work for me, just being consistent and being passionate and letting people know, like, hey, I'm doing this and I really care about it. And I think people resonate with that.
Mm-hmm. And even what you said about networking, as far as, yeah, I feel the same way as you, just the word networking for me, and maybe it's because it's been overused so much, it's kind of, I don't know, a cliche, but just that word makes me freeze up and be awkward, you know?
Well, and I think there's, I don't know, networking to me seems disingenuous. You know what I mean? Like, you have ulterior motives, and I don't like to go out there and have ulterior motives that I'm only talking to you to maybe benefit myself. You know, what can you do for me? I really feel like if you can do things for other people, that's the best way to get work and to be, you know, in people's minds is just, you know, making yourself available and sharing your knowledge and rather than asking people, what can you do for me? You know, saying, what can I do for you will take you a lot further.
Building relationships. Absolutely. That's what I'm hearing. Love it. Love it. And consistency. That's another great point. I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with, especially when you're running your own photography business. Like you said, you have to stay organized and you're doing everything. So, Wes, how do you stay consistent with your online, with your social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram?
I guess, you know, it's tough, especially, you know, balancing life and family and work. I just try, for me, you know, since in the last year, I've tried to just say, hey, I'm going to, you know, make a blog post every week on my website, no matter what. It's got to be photo related. Even if it's something from a month ago, you know, put some pictures up, put a few words down, and just, you know, getting in the habit of doing that to me has really helped. Even if nobody's looking at it, it's great if people are, but even just doing that for yourself and getting into the routine of, okay, a blog post a week is on my list of things to do. And that's helped me a lot. And so far, you know, I haven't made it a year yet, but I've kept it up since I started in, I think it was January. So that's been helpful to me to just be like, it's important to keep consistent and do this every week. With the Instagram thing, I think that gives me a lot more room to just play around, because I probably post a lot more stuff that I wouldn't on my website that I do on Instagram, because it's just Instagram. You know what I mean? It gives me a chance to play around a little bit more and not take it so serious. So that's been cool to me. And yeah, just same with the Facebook thing. I use like my Facebook page, you know, to market my business in a way, but I also feel, I mean, not in a way. Yeah, I use it to market my business, but I also feel like people don't want to feel like they're being marketed to ever. You know, so if you can just give people a glimpse into your personal life and show them what's going on with you, and I think that's what draws people in, and they want to know about real people. So if you can just put yourself out there and be a real person, and that is pretty effective to me.
And you know, it's interesting how with the different platforms it really changes that communication and the way you communicate with your audience. Because you're right, with Facebook, people don't want to be marketed to all the time.
Right.
And
right.
I mean, it's interesting where I've had some posts where I'm just posting something off the wall about me. And the response to that has been way better than, you know, me trying to market, hey, you know,
right.
I don't know, book a shoot or whatever. And it's like crickets.
Absolutely. Well, I think about that a lot. You know, there's two ways to do it. I could go on my Facebook page and say, hey, book me for your wedding in 2015. And like you said, crickets. But if you're consistently, you know, once a week or twice a week posting a beautiful image that you shot at a wedding and just in telling a little bit about that picture or how you got the picture, then when someone, you know, it comes up, hey, oh, so-and-so's getting married. Oh, you know who's always posting nice wedding photos? Mm. You know what I mean? So, and then you're in their mind. So that is a much more effective technique than, like you said, than saying, hey, book me for your, you know, book a shoot with me, book a shoot with me. People will need to book a photographer at a certain point. So if you can just show that you really care about photography and you take nice pictures and you're consistently putting it out there, you're going to come to their mind when that time comes. So
totally.
It's tricky, but you know, it's that's why I just think 2014, this time is such a great time to be a creative person and to be putting your work out there, because I believe that if you are passionate about what you're doing and you're putting quality work out there, whether you're a photographer, whether you're a painter, whether you're a musician, the work will find you. If you're doing it right, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And even being authentic, that authentic piece, people can tell when you're disingenuous or not. And it's about being yourself. I mean, some stuff I posted, because I do some digital art as well. And I mean, at one point I was stressed and just from a very authentic place, I started creating digital art just for stress relief, not trying to sell.
Right.
And via Facebook, I mean, all of a sudden people wanted to buy it. And I'm like, wait, yeah. I'm not selling this. What about my photography? And I, right. I did end up selling some. But yeah, you know, right. it's such an interesting time right now.
For sure.
Definitely.
That's great.
Cool. Well, let's talk about some lessons learned. I'm almost out of space on my paper. Wow. Okay. What's the most common mistake, Wes, that you see professional photographers make as far as business goes?
You know, I don't really know. I guess it kind of almost goes back to, I see a lot of photographers, especially, I don't know, I follow a lot of people online. I try to follow a lot of photographers just for that inspiration and to see what other people doing. And I see it with musicians too, but I see a lot of photographers wanting to be like the rock star photographer. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's something I just see a lot, but I see a lot of people trying to kind of be bigger than their britches, I guess, if that makes any sense. So I in trying to put up a little bit of a facade, and I think it goes back to being yourself is probably the most effective thing to do, and just kind of being a normal person and not wanting to be that rock star photographer. I definitely don't want to be that guy, you know what I mean? But I do see a lot of people kind of laying it on a little thick sometimes, and I don't know. And in my mind, that hurts your business more than it helps, because people want to work with a real person. Mm-hmm. So I guess for lack of anything better, I guess that's what I would say.
That's super interesting. I guess just to put you on the spot, but without you naming any names in particular, could you give us an example of someone trying to be...
I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. A lot of things. And I guess it's more than just photography. It's just art in general. Mm-hmm. People want to be perceived as movers and shakers. And, you know, I'm on a plane to New York this morning to do this with this person. And then I'll be back. And it's just like, I really enjoy, being rooted in South Dakota and trying to give it a go from a place that maybe isn't known for for being like a creative hub, you know. So I guess I don't know, and maybe that's not even a good answer, but it's just something that came to mind.
No, I think that's a really good answer. The reason I was digging into it is because I'm seeing a bit of myself in that when I first started out.
Sure.
As far as trying to have people, oh, how do you put it? Like, you're trying to be bigger than you are or make people think that you're the stuff, you know?
Right, right. Well, and it goes back to a lot of life is about perception, right? And you want people to perceive you in a certain way. So I feel like when you're not being genuine and you're trying to be perceived in a certain way that's mm-hmm. maybe not truthful, that probably causes more damage than it does good.
Totally, totally. I totally struggled with this years ago. I just said totally like three or four times. And you know, especially when I was first starting out, for me, there was a lot of insecurity. Sure. And you feel like you have to be a big deal for people to take you seriously. And then with social media, you know, you can post everywhere right. that you have this huge shoot coming up and la-di-da, and you're traveling to such and so a place. And I know for me, it's taken time just to be authentic. And
sure.
you know, still be passionate about what I'm doing, but not try to put on so much of a facade, if
Absolutely.
That makes sense.
And it's tough too, you know, promoting, you have to promote yourself and you have to talk about what you're doing, but there's a fine line between being kind of braggy and in your face or, you know, just sharing details about your life. So it's a fine line, and it's a tough thing to put yourself out there. And you know, there has to be some sort of balance between letting people know what you have going on and being a real person. That's, you know, I got up this morning and I made coffee and I took my daughter to daycare, and I have a pretty normal life, and I think most people do, and they just want to resonate with that, I guess.
Absolutely. Cool. So tell us, what's one thing you wish you knew before you went professional with your photography?
That I could do it. You know, like I think there's always a doubt in your mind, like, can I do this? Can I do this? And you don't know until you try, I suppose. But, you know, being a year into being basically full time, you know, I realized that I can do this. And you can do anything that, you know, to be as cliche as possible, you literally can do anything you put your mind to, as long as you care, and as long as you're passionate, and as long as you're working hard, good things happen. And sometimes it takes time, you know. I definitely, you know, the photography thing has taken off really fast for me, and in the last couple of years has been great. But on the other side of things, you know, I've been in a band for 13 years, and it's taken that long to get anywhere. So you know, just being patient and having faith, you know, having patience and having faith in yourself that you can do it. That was the biggest thing I wish I knew before I actually made the decision to take the dive. But you know, pulling that rug out from under you and pulling that safety net out will make you work really hard, and good things come with hard work for sure.
You can do anything you put your mind to. When you said that, I got chills.
It's the most basic of things that, you know, your parents tell you when you're young. But, you know, it really is true. If you put your head down and just do the work and really care and are passionate and are determined, things, the universe works itself out.
And, you know, the interesting thing is, I think with the creative, artistic things, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I know myself, as well as some of my friends from art school, we kind of struggled with the whole, we can do anything that we put our mind to, but we're creative people, so we're probably going to be poor. Do you know what I mean? So like that statement about you can do anything, it's so true. It's so basic. But I think a lot of creatives also struggle coming to terms with their inner creativity. I mean, at one point I went to a pre-engineering program in between high school and college because I wanted to please my parents. And I'm thinking, oh, I love art, but sure. I wasn't into photography yet at the time, but I knew I loved art, but I didn't think I'd be able to get paid for it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was kind of like, I can do anything as long as it's not art. And then I went to the engineering thing and I was miserable, just miserable. So
I think there's another thing too, you know, for a long, long time, I kept the job just like, you know, you just talked about, and I would, you know, I'd be writing music on my lunch break, and there's no shame in that either. I don't think, you know, you can be creative after work if you need to, or, you know what I mean? Or during, right. You know, it isn't maybe a career for everybody, and maybe not everybody needs to dive in and try to be creative for a living. And I don't think there's any shame in that either. You know, my mother has been a photographer for 40 years, never professionally, but mm-hmm. she's never put down the camera and she's always taking pictures. And so there's a level, I guess you need to decide what's in your heart and how far you want to take it. And if you are miserable at that job and you want to try to go for it, then you should.
Mm-hmm. You have to be true to yourself. Take it as far as you want, which is a nice thing.
Absolutely.
And if you want to take it full time, you can take it full time. If you don't want to, then that's totally fine. It's just don't limit yourself, you know, by what you might think other people expect you to do.
For sure.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. That was like my big realization of 2014. Awesome. Well, is there a particular photography resource, a tool, a book that you would recommend to our listeners that would help them with their photography businesses?
You know, I kind of struggle with this question a little bit. I was trying to think, but for me, I feel like if I ever have a question or if there's ever something I'm wondering about or a piece of gear I want to, you know, I go to YouTube and I type that sucker in, and it, like, literally any question your heart desires, there's an answer for you there. Somebody has made a video and talked about it, or, you know, if you want to learn a technique in Photoshop, type that in, and I mean, that's another thing. It's 2014 is amazing. Like, any, you know, just in that search bar, the answers to your wildest dreams and questions are right there. So I honestly wanted to say, you know, something a little more focused and in photography based, but really, like, if I have a question or I'm wondering about something, I go to YouTube and I type it in and I usually can find my answer.
That's a great answer. It's free. I mean, it's
free.
Super useful. That's what I was using to listen to some of your music before our interview today. Rocking out. So
yeah.
Totally. Awesome. Well, Wes, our final question, but definitely our most important one. Tell us where we can find you as far as your website, any other products that you want to mention, any of that good stuff.
Sure. Well, my website is Wes Eisenhower Photography. Online on Instagram and Twitter, my handle is at Soulcrate, SOULCRATE, one word. And I'm on Facebook as Wes Eisenhower Photography as well. And so those are my main channels. I'm pretty active on all of them. And I try to keep my website updated and talk about and post photos from my blog. So those are the main places you can find me.
Sweet. And we will definitely include those in the show notes for our listeners today. Awesome. I really enjoyed this chat. Thank you so much. Totally appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me. It was great.